If you'll all be seated, we'll be reading the scripture. Please be seated and we'll start with the scripture. Thank you. The scripture today is from Psalm 68, 1 through 6 and 30 through 35. And if you haven't been here very often, we do have the large print Bibles, but we also, I believe, have it on the screen. So please join me as I read this. Let God rise up. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exalted before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. Rebuke the wild animals that live among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the people who delight in war. Let the bronze be brought from Egypt. Let Ethiopia hasten to stretch out its hands to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of earth. Sing to the praises of the Lord. O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens, listen. He sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In Burns Memorial, our tradition has been to stand for the gospel. If you are comfortable to doing that and able to do so, I invite you that you might. This is the gospel. Gospel means the good news. It means the word. It is God's word to God's people. And I come in the midst of the people to read it in the midst of the people, that we embrace the word. Here is John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have taken him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. They bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linens wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they had not understood the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she looked over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she turned to him and said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that they had seen these things to her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reason when Neo said, I'd like 5 minutes to preach, the reason I did look at him with question in my mind, you see, I want to take this morning to make an announcement, but before I do, I want to acknowledge all of the saints in my life that have gone before me, all of those that have helped lead me on a path to Christianity, lead me on the way that I am, that have contributed, that have been part of my life. You know some of those saints that have gone before and rest from their labors. You know those. And I have them here. There's a list of 759 of them. But I guess we'll pass those, given that we had to give 5 minutes to Neo. Before I move too far, the bishop, our Bishop Olivetta, has written a bit of a prayer, and I want to read a piece of it. Every time people join together across lines of difference and indifference to dream of a better world, there's a resurrection going on. Every time we help one another put down those things that draw us closer to death, whether drugs or alcohol or whatever enslaves us, there is resurrection going on. Every time people gather to say no to oppression, there is resurrection going on. Every time you swing your feet out of bed in the morning and push back not only the covers but also the voices that have told you you're not good enough, that you are never going to make it, that you're never going to be good enough, every time you push those back, there is resurrection going on. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. There is resurrection going on. So our bishop is with us this morning celebrating and in the midst of. Let me check my notes here. We have everything in order. We went through Lent. We had sermons and meditations and studies and prayers. Bill Mitchell, where did you get away to, my friend? I don't see him. He's downstairs cleaning up. Amen to the men for cleaning up. And amen to the men for good breakfast. I assume the Bible study culminated, did it not? Was it good? Oh, it's not quite done yet? No, so it's still going on. But you've gotten a good piece of it done, so I think we can count that. On Thursday night, we celebrated a Passover feast, the traditional Jewish celebration that Jesus used, and then it culminated in the Last Supper where he established the Eucharist, our communion, and the new covenant with us. And on Friday, a beautiful tenebrae service. A journey from Palm Sunday to Easter morning, with all of the steps in between, and each step we gradually darkened the sanctuary and gradually blew out one candle at a time and until we were in complete darkness and left in silence. The tomb, dark. Well, now this morning we come to Easter morning and the lights are bright, the lilies are here, there's flowers, there's hats, there's celebrations, there are children, there is laughter. It is Easter morning, and so it's time for my primary message, which is this. Early this morning, before sunrise, God raised from the dead Jesus of Nazareth. That's my message. That's my primary message. That's what I'm here for. I'm sure that's what I'm supposed to be about. The darkness of the tomb is supplanted. The darkness is gone. As we were doing the tenebrae service, we were ending and the cross was lit. You see the beautiful shadows. We, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are three there. Isn't that beautiful? And we decided we wanted to fade out all of the lights and just have the shadows showing, but there is never a shadow without light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will never overcome it. It's Easter morning. The message I've delivered is a hard one, and it's difficult in many respects because it means the cross. It recognizes the cross. It acknowledges the cross. And it makes us face the cross. You can't make that announcement. You can't do that without the cross. You can't get to Easter except through the darkness, through the tomb, and through the cross. You can soften the announcement. Beautiful Easter eggs and breakfasts and celebrations and parties and flowers and families gathered together. And all of those are great and wonderful and important, but that's not what I'm here for. And that's not the message that I'm supposed to deliver. I'm here to remind you that this morning, just a little before sunrise, God raised from the dead Jesus of Nazareth. I'm sure of that. Hearing's hard. Have you noticed how hard hearing is? We, Pia, the church secretary's here. I don't know where you moved to, Pia. She was down here for a minute. And she's hard to keep up with, that Pia. Pray for Nalu. We put announcements in the bulletin. We put inserts in the bulletin. She sends out emails. She makes phone calls. We password person to person. She tells me things. She makes me write down things. And I turn around and I'll say, I don't know. Did you already tell me this? It's hard to hear sometimes. Sometimes I think that you just have to have it engraved on the inside of your eyeballs, on your eyelids. But you know, maybe we're being conditioned. I was watching a TV show the other day in real time. I don't do that very often. I record shows and then play them back and fast forward through the commercials. But I was watching a TV show the other night. I don't know why. And in the half-hour segment, I saw the same commercial 8 times. Twice, once right back-to-back. It played the commercial and then played the commercial over. And I thought, no wonder we're tuning things out. No wonder we're not listening. No wonder the message gets lost. They're pounding at us, and it's survival, isn't it? There's a lot of noise. Awful lot of noise in the world. I wonder if that's what happened to Paul. You remember Paul, he was a Jew, trained as a Jew, knew the laws, and he was good at enforcing rules, persecuting those who disobeyed, and he did it vigorously and with joy. And he was in the midst of doing all that. He was in the midst of being all of that. And he couldn't hear that message because it conflicted with his whole world view. Everything that he was about, it conflicted. And he couldn't hear the message. So Jesus knocked him down off of his horse onto the ground and blinded him. Have I got your attention yet? God said. Then Paul listened. Finally, he began to listen. He began to listen, and he became the one to share. And to share Christ, the great evangelist. It's a hard message to hear because if we listen to Paul and Paul's journeys, he went out in the world offering Christ to the world, and he suffered for his witness. He was imprisoned how many times? He was beaten how many times? They took hammers and pounded his bones to try and break him and break his bones. And he was afflicted of the flesh, he said. We don't know all of why or what. But it wasn't a rose garden any way you look at it. He was called and went to serve and he followed. And all that he had been as a persecutor for the Jews was lost. He gave up all. So this message is a hard one to hear. It's a very difficult one to hear. I wonder if the emperor of Rome heard the message. Sitting on the seat of power, the most powerful nation, with all of the powers of war and troops and all of the technology and all of the ability to make his will, impose it on anyone, sitting at the seat of power. Would he have listened? Would he have heard that word? No, Lord. Emperor, you have no power. You can't win. You can never win. You will never win. No, you can't win. You, Emperor of Rome, you will be but a footnote in time. Rome will pass away. I was going to say that my allergies are because of the lilies, but I'm afraid they're fake. So I'm not sure what to blame it on.
Just pray for my voice for a moment, if you wouldn't mind. The emperor, the message he would have heard was, you have no power. What emperor would accept that word? What emperor, what powerful person would accept the reality that war will never win? The Prince of Peace has defeated all powers, and there is no other way. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Did they hear the word? I don't know. But the reality is, God has pulled the shroud off of the coffin. He's taken the cloth and he's laid it on the banquet table. And there is a feast for us. All Christians gathered, all those who believe and follow. There's a feast of wine and food, of singing, of dancing. It is a great celebration laid out before us, because God will wipe every tear from every eye. It's hard to hear that message. Mary Magdalene was probably the most devout of the disciples. We don't hear that reflected in the Gospels, the Bible, because it was written by men who didn't hear that message of equality that Jesus taught. But Mary Magdalene was there faithfully. She was the one who seemed to understand. She was the first to comprehend. She was in the midst of it all. And she goes to the tomb in the morning. It's empty, and she sees the two angels inside, and she can't believe that he's gone. Somebody certainly must have stolen the body away. That's all that can make sense. The reality is beyond comprehension, you see. And we're like that. If we see something we can't comprehend, we just don't see it. We cannot allow it to be. Jesus appears to her, and she sees him and stares at him and doesn't recognize him, because she knows he's dead. He cannot be there. He cannot be standing there alive speaking to her. She knows it's not possible. Until he says her name. Mary. How would the gardener know her name? Mary. And it breaks through all of that incomprehensibility. It breaks through, and she realizes, this is the Lord. And she goes and tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. You can imagine they didn't believe her. I can tell you all of the reasons that this message is important to me. I can tell you all of the reasons that Jesus is vital to who I am and how I am. I can tell you of the people that have raised me and taught me, and the witnesses that they have in their lives. I can tell you that I am awestruck that he went to Samaria, a place forbidden. And he came to a woman who had been married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced and was living with somebody else. And he gave her living water. He offered her all of the kingdom. And not only did he accept her and welcome her and give her great words, but he and the disciples, they stayed for a couple of days. They're family. We got to reach over some of those barriers and do it. I cannot imagine how Jesus did that, and I am awestruck. I am awestruck that on that morning in the Garden of Gethsemane, he stood there, and the crowd began to gather as the soldiers came. And the crowd began to swell, and the crowd knew what was coming, and the crowd was ready. And the crowd, at a word from him, would have gone into revolt. The crowd would have destroyed the soldiers. The crowd would have raised an armed battle. They were ready to do this in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Messiah, the King, come to reconquer the land. And he stopped them. No, you can never win with the sword. You can never win this way. No, put your swords away. I am awestruck. I can't comprehend him at all. He stopped them. He stopped them from that. Now, I could tell you all of these things and many more, but they are my things, and they're stories that you can hear. But you need your own stories. You need your own connectedness. You need your own ways of finding and embracing the message. Fred Craddock tells an interesting account, and some of us are going to have to pretend that we're not as old as we are, but bear with me. Do any of you know the name Marion Robert Morrison? You might know him better by John Wayne. How many of you know John Wayne? You ever heard that name? He was a cowboy's cowboy, wasn't he? How many of you grew up with John Wayne, cowboy? Yes, indeed. Before John Wayne was another cowboy by the name of Tom Mix. How many of you remember? See, I knew you would remember. I thought we would. Remember Tom Mix? That was a little before my time, but so I won't shush. Tom Mix was a cowboy's cowboy. He was grew up in Dewey, Oklahoma. Now, if you aren't a cowboy coming from Dewey, Oklahoma, there ain't no such thing as a cowboy. And he was a serious cowboy. There was none of this Hollywood fooling around business here. There was no kissing and hugging and singing sweet lullabies to women. I tell you what, after Tom Mix had done his business, he kissed his horse and rode off into the sunset. He was a cowboy's cowboy. Yeah? Yeehaw. There was a woman named Adele Rogers St. John. She was a newspaper writer. William Randolph Hearst newspapers. 6 years. In a time and age when not a lot of women newspaper writers and not a lot of people able to do that. And she had the ability to and fame that she interviewed kings and queens and presidents and best and first ladies and Queen of America. Isn't that? That's a joke. She interviewed all of those and the famous stars, and she went to an interview Tom Mix. She went to interview Tom Mix, and it was a delightful interview by most accounts. She said it was, guess what? He's a Shakespearean scholar. Tom Mix, the cowboy's cowboy. And he was a he had memorized massive portions of Shakespeare, could recite it, bring tears to your eyes. Tom Mix, who'd have known? And they talked for a long time. And somehow the conversation rolled around to religion. And he said to her, do you believe in God? And she said, well, I don't know. Probably not. That's what she said. Probably not. So he looked at her and he recited two lines out of a poem. I have seen him eat honeycomb since they hanged him on a tree. That's what he said to her. Years later, she wrote her memoirs. She entitled them Honeycomb. Honeycomb. What a strange place to hear that word. A little bit before morning, before the sunrise this morning, God raised from the dead Jesus of Nazareth. That's the message. That's where it is. Hard to hear. Take your time. You have a lot of time. It's Easter. You have Easter. And you know that this isn't Easter. This is just day one. Easter is actually a season. It's 50 days long. Something like that. At Pentecost comes at 50. A penta means 50. So I assume there's 50 days in there. I didn't count them. You can if you want. June 11th, Pentecost. We're going to be ready for Pentecost in June, aren't we, Don? You'll know the temperaments will change and tongues of fire will come out of the ceiling. But you have 50 days. 50 days of Easter, 50 days of time to stop and think and listen and hear and wait. And even then, I think there's a grace period. I believe that if you ask, you could get an extension.